Blog Talk Radio.
Study. We thank God for this opportunity. Let us pray as we enter in for our lesson tonight. Amen. I pray all is well with everyone that's on the line today. Father God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for one more time, Father God. We thank you for this opportunity that you allowed us to come to receive, oh God, that there be a pouring in on tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, that will restore us, that will heal us, that will deliver us, oh God. Hallelujah, that will bless us in a mighty way in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. As we receive, oh God, that we will freely give to us, oh God. Oh Lord, that their life may be changed, oh God. We just want to say thank you, Lord. We bless your holy name, Father God. We ask that you move mighty on the line tonight, oh God, in this lesson, Father God. Open up our understanding, oh God. Open up our spirit, oh God, the channels of our spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We come against every unteachable spirit on the line, every hindering spirit, every fighting spirit, spirit of disbelief. We come against it right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we command you to cease your works and die at the root and come out. In the name of Jesus Christ, and that we decree and declare that we receive on tonight revelation and knowledge and wisdom from God. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ and this lesson on tonight, may all be sealed to overflowing. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you, Father God. We decree and declare that it is so and it shall be no other way. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Good to see everybody here in Bible study on tonight. Thank God for you. You could be anywhere else at this time, but you decided to be here. If you cannot hear me, press 1. If you cannot hear me, press 1. I want to make sure that everyone is hearing me. So those who cannot hear me, press 1 at this time. Amen. So that means everyone is hearing us. We're not too long ago getting off our prayer call. For you all know that we are in prayer the month of October, for the month of October. So it's at 6 o'clock Central Standard Time. So we're coming out of prayer right into our Bible study. We just thank God. So we're already set to receive. Amen. We've broken some things off of us so we can be able to receive tonight without any hindrance. Amen. And we come against the spirit of distraction. We know the enemy will try, but we will stand firm and we shall receive and be positioned so that we can see. Tonight, our listener study tonight here in Bible study is the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of the blood of Christ. You always hear, we plead the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood, the finished work. And so we're going to talk about the power that's in the blood. This lesson will probably go over the next few weeks or so as we learn going in depth about the blood of Jesus, amen, and what it means for us, the shed blood on the cross. There will be an opportunity here in Bible study for those of you, if it's your first time with us in Bible study, there'll be a time to ask any questions or if you have any comments. We will ask you to hold those comments and questions until the time comes, and we'll ask you to press 1, and then we'll open up your line. We'll call the last 4 digits of your phone number. If I don't know your number, then I'll call the last 4 digits of your phone number, and then we'll take any questions or comments that you have at this time. Amen. We invite all questions and comments pertaining to the lesson. I know sometimes we want to have questions outside of the lesson. We have other times for that. And so, but tonight we want to focus on what the blood of Jesus does for us, the power of the blood of Christ. Amen. Tonight I want us to start in the book of Hebrews. There's going to be several scriptures. You may want to write them down as we go along. Amen. We're going to start the book of Hebrews. And I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 9, you all. And I want to go to verses 7. And I'm coming out the New King James Version, chapter 9 in the book of Hebrews, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. But into the second part, the highest priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. So we see here in Scripture here, in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, God has spoken to us in the Scriptures in many different portions in various manners, but the voice is always the same. It is always the word of the same God. You all, we see the importance of treating the Bible as a whole and receiving the witness it gives in its various portions concerning certain definite truths. So in In this way, we learn to recognize the place these truths actually occupy in revelation, or rather in the heart of God. So also in this way, we begin to discover which foundational truths of the Bible demand our attention above all others, standing so prominently as they do in each new departure, you all, in God's revelation, remaining unchanged when the dispensation changes. They carry a divine indication of their importance. Amen. See, it is my objective, you all, here in this study that follow the introductory one to show what the scriptures teach us concerning the glorious power of the blood of Jesus and the wonderful blessings you are prepared for us by it. So I cannot lay a better foundation for my exposition, you all, nor give a better proof of the superlative glory of that blood as a power of redemption, that by asking you all to follow me through the Bible and see the unique place that is given to the blood from the beginning to the end of God's revelation of himself to man as recorded in the Bible. So it will become clear that there is no single scriptural idea from Genesis to Revelation more constantly you are and more prominently kept in view than that expressed by the word the blood. So our inquiry, you all, is that what the scripture teaches us about the blood, first in Old Testament, second in the teaching of our Lord Jesus himself, third in what the apostle taught, fourth, and what John told us of the blood in Revelation. Last, and you all, we can learn about the blood from Scripture. So what the Old Testament teaches us, if you want to take note, the scriptural record about the blood begins at the gates of Eden. Amen. I do not enter into the unrevealed mysteries of Eden, but in connection with the sacrifice of Abel, all is plain. He brought the firstlings of his flock, you all, in the book of Genesis 4 and 4. If you go over to the book of Genesis 4 and 4, and I know a lot of us probably read that already, so you can write it down, Genesis 4 and 4. We see here about the sacrifice of Abel when he brought his sacrifice to God. So to the Lord, he brought a sacrifice, and there in a connection with the first act of worship recorded in the Bible. So blood was shed. We see this here. Blood was shed in Genesis. So we learn from Hebrews 11 and 4. If you go to Hebrews 11 and 4, you should already be in Hebrews. So if you had Hebrews 11 and 4, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm going to give you all a chance to get there, which you're not going too fast. Hebrews 11 and 4, amen. Amen. If you look at Hebrews 11 and 4, it says, this is this, that it was by faith. So let's read 11 and 4. And I'm in the New King James Version. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. So, we see here in Hebrews 4 that it was by faith that Abel offered an acceptable sacrifice, and his name stands first in the record of those whom the Bible calls believers. Yes, amen, believers. So he had this witness given to him that he was righteous, amen, according to Hebrews 11 and 4. So his faith and God's good pleasure in him are closely connected with the sacrificial blood. So in light of that revelation, this testimony given at the very beginning of human history is of deep significance, everyone. So it shows that there can be no approach to God, no fellowship with him by faith, no enjoyment of his favor apart from the blood. Amen? Apart from the blood. We're talking about the blood of Christ. If you just entered in Bible study, we're talking about the power of the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Christ. And what does that mean to us? You know, what does the blood do for us? And we're going to be studying this lesson for about 4 weeks. So, you all, the new earth had to be baptized with blood. The new earth had to be baptized with blood. Scripture gives only a brief account of the following 16 centuries. Then came the flood, which was God's judgment on sin by the destruction of the world of mankind. But God brought forth a new earth from that awful baptism of water. I want you to notice, however, that the new earth also had to be baptized with blood. And the first record recorded on act of Noah after he had left the ark was the offering of a burnt sacrifice to God. So as it was with Abel, so was it with Noah. At a new beginning, it was not without blood. So sin once again prevailed, and God laid an entirely new foundation for establishment of his kingdom on earth. You are by the divine call of Abraham and the miraculous birth of Isaac, God undertook the formation of a people to serve him. But this purpose was not accomplished apart from the shedding of the blood. This is apparent in most solemn hour of Abraham's life. We see it. So God had already entered into a covenant relationship with Abraham, and his faithful, hallelujah, had already been severely tried and had stood the test. So it was reckoned, y'all, and counted to him for righteousness, according to Romans 4:9. And you can write this down and go back for yourself, Romans 4:9. Yet he had to learn that Isaac, the son of promise, who belonged wholly to God, could be truly surrendered to God only by death. Isaac had to die for Abraham as well as for Isaac. Only by death could freedom from the self-life be obtained. So Abraham had to offer Isaac on the altar. When we look in the book of Genesis in chapter 22, verses 1 through 18, and I know a lot of us know this story in the book of Genesis about Abraham and Isaac's sacrifice of God's promise. So this was not an arbitrary command of God. It was the revelation of a divine truth, y'all, of a divine truth, that only through death is it possible for a life to be truly consecrated to God. But it was impossible for Isaac to die and rise again from the dead for on account of sin. So death would hold him fast. But the scriptures tell us that Isaac's life was spared, and a ram was offered in his place in verse 13. So through the blood, hallelujah, so through the blood that being flowed on Mount Moriah, his life was spared. He and the people who sprang from him lived before God, not without blood. By that blood, however, he was, in a sense, raised again from the dead. The great lesson of substitution is taught clearly here. Amen. If you're just now entering into Bible study, we're talking about the power of the blood of Christ, of our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you miss any part of it, you can always log back onto Blog Talk Radio / The Preaching of Pastor and click on tonight's Bible study so you can catch it and see where we are at this point after we get off any part that you've missed. Amen. So you are 400 years past, and Isaac became in Egypt. He became Egyptian, not Egyptian, but in Egypt. He ended up in Egypt, the people of Israel. So through his deliverance from Egyptian bondage, Israel was to be recognized as God's firstborn among the nations. Here also it was not without blood. Neither the electing grace of God, nor his covenant with Abraham, nor the exercise of his omnipotence, which could so easily have been destroyed through oppressors, could dispense you all with the necessity of the blood. So what the blood accomplished on Mount Moriah, you all, for one person who was the father of a nation, now had to be experienced by the nation. I want to make sure I'm not speaking too fast. I want us to get this as much as we can in this lesson. Amen. Hallelujah. So by the sprinkling of the door frames of the Israelites with the blood, you all, of the Paschal Lamb, and by the institution of the Passover as an enduring ordinance with the words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," according to Exodus 12:13. The people were taught that life will be attained only by the death of a substitute. So life was possible for them only through the blood of a life given in their place, and this life could be taken hold of by the sprinkling of that blood. So 50 days later, this was enforced in a striking manner. Israel had reached Sinai, and God had given his law as the foundation of his covenant. That covenant now had to be established, but as it is expressly stated in Hebrews 9 and 7, not without the blood, which we read earlier, the sacrificial blood had to be sprinkled first on the altar, then on the book of the covenant representing God's side of that covenant, then on the people with the declaration, "Behold the blood of the covenant," according to Exodus 24 and 8. So in that blood, the covenant had its foundation and power. It is by the blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship, that which had been foreshadowed at the gate of Eden at Mount Ararat, you all, on Moriah, and in Egypt, was now confirmed at the foot of Sinai in a most solemn manner. So without blood, there could be no access by simple man to a holy God. Amen. So there is, however, a significant difference between the manner of applying the blood in the former cases as compared with the latter. On Moriah, the life was redeemed by the shedding of the blood. In Egypt, it was sprinkled on the doorposts of the houses, but at Sinai, it was sprinkled on the person themselves. So the contact was closer, the application was more powerful. Amen. So you are immediately after the establishment of the covenant, the command was given, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." In the book of Exodus 25 and 8, we see this. I repeat that again. In the book of Exodus 25 and 8, y'all, they were to enjoy the full blessedness of having the God of the covenant abiding among them. Through his grace, they can find him and serve him in his house. Amen. I want you to understand, nothing can dispense with the necessity of the blood. He himself gave with a minute's care direction for the arrangements and service of that house. But you would notice that the blood is the center and reason for all this. Draw near to the dispute of the earthly temple of the Heavenly Father, and the first thing visible is the altar of burnt offerings, where the sprinkling of blood continues without ceasing from morning until evening. Into the holy place, and the most conspicuous thing is the golden altar of incense, which also together with the veil is constantly sprinkled with the blood. Actually lies behind the holy place, and you will be told that it is the most holy place where God dwells. So if you ask how he dwells there and how he is approached, you will be told, not without blood. The golden throne where his glory shines is itself sprinkled with the blood once every year when the high priest alone enters to bring in the blood and to worship God. The highest act in that worship is the sprinkling of the blood. So if you inquire further, you'll be told that for everything, the blood is always the one necessary thing. At the consecration of a house or of the priest, at the birth of a child, and the deepest penitence you are on account of sin, I want you to understand, in the highest vessel always and in everything, the way to fellowship with God is through the blood of law. So this, you all, continues for 1,500 years at Sinai in the desert and in Shiloh in the temple of Mount Moriah, you all. It continued until our Lord came to make an end of all shadows by bringing in the substance and by establishing a fellowship with the Holy One in spirit and in truth. We're talking about Jesus Christ here. You are with what our Lord Jesus himself taught about the blood. See, with the coming of Christ, all things passed away and all things became new. If you go to 2 Corinthians with me, 5 and 17, chapter 5, verse 17, 2 Corinthians, and I'll give you all opportunity to get there, and then we're going to take any questions and comments here. Amen. I thank you all that were on the prayer call. I want to say, top of able to come over for Bible study. So we just thank God for the month of October as we are in prepared for this 4 months at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ in there. Amen. Of all that we pray about and trust in God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus, washed clean, set free by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And just have an understanding, a revelation of knowledge of Scripture, of what the Bible is saying, the power of the blood of Jesus, and why it's so important. Amen. So we look at 2 Corinthians, if you're with me, chapter 5, you all, verse 17. I hope you all are there. I hope I gave you enough time to get there tonight. And I'm coming out of the King James Version if you're just not getting on to Bible study. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we have this, we see it in Scripture. He came from the Father in heaven, and he told us the way to the Father in divine word. See, it is sometimes said that the words not without blood belong to the Old Testament. But what did our Lord Jesus Christ say? Notice the first that when John the Baptist announced his coming, he spoke of him as fulfilling his dual office as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, in John 1 and 29, and then as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost, in verse 33. So the outpouring, you all, the outpouring of the blood of the Lamb of God had to take place before the outpouring of the Spirit could be bestowed. So only when all that the Old Testament taught about the blood had been fulfilled could be this dispensation law of the Spirit begin. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself plainly declared that his death on the cross was the purpose for which he came into the world, that it was the necessary condition for the redemption and life that he came to bring. So he clearly stated that in connection with his death, the shedding of blood was necessary. It was necessary. So in the synagogue, a testimony, you all, he spoke of himself as the bread of life. In the book of John, chapter 6, we'll see it in verse 45. So of his flesh, he said that he would give it for the life of the world, in verse 51. Four times over, he said, most empathetically, you all, except ye drink my blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso drinketh my blood hath eternal life. My blood is drink indeed. So he that drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. We see this in verses 53 and 56. So our Lord declares the fundamental thing that he himself, as the Son of the Father, who came to restore us, hallelujah, to restore our lost life, amen, could do this in no other way than by dying for us, by shedding his blood for us, and then by making us partakers of his power. Our Lord confirmed the teaching of the Old Testament authors that man can live only through the death of another and obtain a life that through resurrection has become eternal. But Christ, you all, himself cannot make us partakers of the eternal life that he has procured for us except by the shedding of his blood and by causing us to drink it. That's a marvelous fact, you all. Marvelous fact. Not without blood can eternal life be ours. Equally striking is our Lord's declaration of the same truth on the last night of his earthly life before he completed the great work of his life by giving it as a ransom for many. According to the book of Matthew 20:28, he instituted the Holy Supper saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. Amen. Look at Matthew 26. You can go to it yourself. You can write it down, Matthew 26, 27 through 28 verse. Matthew 26, verse 27 through 28 verse, you all. Without shedding of blood is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9 and 22. Without remission of sins, there is no life. But by the shedding of his blood, he has obtained a new life for us. By what he calls the drinking of his blood, he shares his life with us, the bloodshed. Hallelujah, in the atonement, which frees us from the guilt of sin and from death, the punishment of sin, the blood, which we drink by faith, bestows his life on us. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're just down, locking on here to Bible study, we're talking about the power of the blood of Christ, the power of the blood of Christ. At this time, we're going to open up the lines. If you have any questions or comments, we want to hear from you. We invite you to ask any question or comments pertaining to the scripture on tonight. Amen. You'll press 1 at this time. Amen. It's a breaking down of everything on tonight, and I love it because it's an opportunity for us to see it even more clearly, have a better understanding. You know, when we're pleading the blood of Jesus Christ, actually, what are we doing? Understanding the finished work on the cross that he had to shed blood. And that's one thing Jesus was saying to his disciples all the time, that I won't be with you for long. I won't be with you for long. You know, he was leaving, and he knew what he came to do. And it had to be done. It was necessary. Amen. And we see this from the beginning. So having an understanding from the beginning and what it means. I'm not sure why do you have to die? Why do you have to shed the blood? What is that? And having an understanding of breaking down the power that's in the blood. So when you decree and declare, hallelujah, and plead the blood of Jesus Christ over you and your situation, knowing that it is so, which are covered by the blood and what the blood draws, what the blood does. And when you know the power of something, that's just like having a device or something, or a magnet, or having some type of, I was going to say gun or something like that, or ammunition, and understand the power of it, you know, or what you have in your hand, or what you have in your mouth, and understanding that, and how you use it, and expecting it to do what it's supposed to do, because you know the power of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, since no one has any questions, I'm just going to continue on here for about another 10 or 15 minutes here, and then we're going to open up the line for any questions or comments, if you have any. If not, then we'll just wrap up the lesson for tonight. Just don't want to give you all too much. You know, this is a lifestyle. This is a life. This is our walk with Christ. So it's only for us to rush into it once you get it, digest it, write it down, and share it. When you receive here in even in church service, Bible study, and lessons, make sure that you share it with someone. Amen. And help them with their walk. So you all, I want to talk about the teaching of the apostles under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We go and look in 2 Corinthians, you all, 5 and 16 verse. Amen. 5 and 16, 2 Corinthians 5 and 16. When we look at the scripture here in 5 and 16, you are after his resurrection and ascension, our Lord was no longer known by the apostles after the flesh. So when we look in the scripture in 5 and 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him, thus no longer. This is what the scripture says. And I'll come out of the New King James Version. So you are all that was symbolic had passed away, and the deep spiritual truths expressed symbolically were unveiled. So, but there is no veiling of the blood. I want you to understand it. It still occupies a prominent place. Amen. Translates to the epistle, you all, to the Hebrew, which was written purposely to show that the temple service had become unprofitable and was intended by God to pass away now that Christ had come. Amen. So here, if anywhere, it might be expected that the Holy Spirit would emphasize the true spirituality of God's purpose, y'all. Yet it is just here that the blood of Jesus is spoken of in a manner that imparts a new value to the phrase concerning our Lord. We read that by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 9 and 12. The blood of Christ will purge your conscience. Verse 14 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We are come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Hallelujah. And to the blood of sprinkling. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without my Lord, my God. Hallelujah, thank God. So God brought again from the dead. This is what the Bible says. God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Hallelujah. We see this in the book of Hebrews, you all. But by such words, the Holy Spirit teaches us that the blood is really the central power of our entire redemption. Not without the blood is as valid in the New Testament as it is in the Old Testament. Amen. So does anyone have any questions or comments? If you do, so I'll pray for one at this time. We want to hear from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll give you all a minute to pray for one now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Since I know one has any questions, so I will take the belief that we all are on the same page and I'm not moving too fast. Okay. Amen. Let me know if I am. We're going to be wrapping up here shortly. I want to close out here with just a little bit more to go on, understanding, have more understanding about the power of the blood of Christ. Understand the blood still occupies a prominent place, everyone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus shed in his death for sin can cover sin on God's side or remove it on ours. Hallelujah. See, y'all, we find the same teachers in the writings of the apostles. Apostle Paul wrote of being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through faith in his blood, according to Romans 3:24-25, and of being now justified by his blood in Romans 5:9. To the Corinthians, he declared that the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. If you look at 1 Corinthians 10:16, hallelujah, 10:16, everybody, 1 Corinthians 10:16, the Bible says, the cup of blessings which we bless is it, not the communion of blood of Christ, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So, we see here in Scripture, so you all, in the epistles, you all, to the Galatians, the epistles in the, to the Galatians, I'll find you put here, in the epistles, you all, to the Galatians, he used the word cross to convey the same meaning. Amen. We look in Galatians 6:14. We can go together here. Galatians 6:14, if you're turning to your Bibles. Galatians 6:14. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:14. I'll give you all a second to get there. Galatians 6:14. Amen. Galatians 6:14. The Bible says, in New King James Version, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to him. I'm sorry, crucified to me and I to the world. That's Galatians, you all. 6. Hallelujah. I'm sorry. Make sure I didn't have the right scripture there. Galatians. What did I say? Did I say Galatians? I think I did. I'm sorry. Give me a moment and make sure I'm in the right place. Okay. I meant to say 1 Corinthians. Sorry. 1 Corinthians, you all. 10:16. No wonder that didn't sound right. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Sorry. 10:16. Hallelujah. 10:16. Sorry. Got my notes down here a little bit wrong. We got it corrected. 10:16. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10:16 reads, the cup of blessing which we bless is it not the communion. Okay, I'm in the right place. I'm sorry, you all. I was right. It's Colossians. I'm sorry. No, I was wrong. I'm sorry. 6:14. God forgive me. I must be tired. Oh, God. No way. We're going to wrap up here soon. I was in the right place. Sorry. Okay, it's again, you all, I'm so sorry, y'all. I think I'm just a little tired. Lord, help me. Amen. Galatians 6:14, I was in the right place. I gave it to y'all correctly the first time. All right. Please forgive me. Amen. 6:14, which I read for you. But God forbid that I should both accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So we're in the right place. Amen. it is, so we see it in Scripture. While in Colossians, he united the two words and spoke to the blood of his cross in Colossians 1 and 20. Amen. And so we can go there and see that for ourselves as well. That's why I would say let us lay eyes to ourselves together with me. Amen. And so we can be in the right place together at the right time. Hallelujah. So if you look at Colossians chapter 1, everybody, 1 and 20, verse 20, amen. The Bible says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. So we see it here in Scripture as well. So, y'all, he reminded the Ephesians that we have redemption through his blood and that we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Apostle Peter reminded his readers that they were elect unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter 1 and 2, that they were redeemed by the precious blood of Christ in verse 19. Amen. See how John assured his little children in 1 John 2 and 1 that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin, you all. When you look at 1 John, if you want to go to 1 John with me, you all, and we're going to wrap up here. I hope I'm not moving too fast. 1 John, if you go to 1 John, let's go to 1 and 7. Chapter 1, 1 and 7. And then the Bible says, but if we walk in the light, and he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I'll repeat that again. That's in 1 John, you all, 1 and verse 7. The Bible says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Son is he. They came not by water only, but by water and blood. In 1 John 5 and 6. Hallelujah. So we see it here in Scripture. You can go to 5 and 6 if you like to. I'll read it for you. 1 John 5, verse 6. 1 John 5, verse 6. Hallelujah. The Bible says, this is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are all of these writers agreed together in mentioning the blood and in glory in it as a power by which eternal redemption through Christ is fully accomplished and is then applied by the Holy Spirit. But perhaps this is merely earthly language. What does heaven have to say? You all, when we come back next week on Wednesday, we're going to examine what the book of Revelation says, what the book of Revelation says concerning the blood. Amen. And we're going to dive into it on next Wednesday here at 7 p.m. on our Bible study time, okay? So at this time, we're going to open up the lines. If anyone has any questions or comments regarding the lesson on tonight, as we're talking about on the power of the blood of Christ, press 1 at this time. Press 1 at this time. Hallelujah. We thank God tonight. Amen. We thank God for the blood that redeems us, that sanctifies us, that justifies us, and makes all things new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of y'all know the power and the blood of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. But we thank God for the blood as we continue to learn even more and going deep with it over the next 4 weeks on Wednesday night in Bible study. We're going in depth of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. Evangelist, can you pray for it? Okay. It didn't come through. Okay. I'll open the line up for you. Amen. God bless you, Evangelist Kim. It didn't. I don't know why.
Okay, how you doing? Hello. I think it's because I'm on that Google phone. You know, I can't dial this number from my regular phone anymore. So I was pressing one and it wasn't saying anything. So, but what I was going to comment on is I like when you read the scripture. I just got home, so I couldn't really turn to the scripture. But it was something about when you fellowship with a person, like you have God's blood or something. It's something you just said recently, but it had something to do with even fellowshipping with the right people to have the blood. It was like literally you said it about 5 minutes ago. I can't remember the scripture, though. It said something about a fellowship and blood. And I was like, wow, that's deep. So you even have to watch who you fellowship with to have that blood covering. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? I can't hear anything. It's totally dead. I lost all connection, so I'm going to hang up and try calling back.
Hello? We can't hear you on this end. This is going to hold on, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now? Hello?
Can you hear me now? Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I hear you now. CM couldn't hear you.
Okay. I could hear her, but she couldn't hear me. I don't know what's going on with the line. I'll open up the line again and see. You have a question or comment?
No, I'll just comment on the Bible study. It was great. And the power of the blood is real powerful. I'm getting the understanding of it, so
you know,
taking a little time to grab, but I'm grabbing. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. If we're in Christ and our walk and our lifestyle in Christ, you know, we'll always revisit this over and over because this is our lifestyle. You know, it's not a one-time thing. We get it and we get it. We study and we practice it. We study and we practice all the days of our life until we leave here and have an understanding. Then we share with others so all will come to know Christ and have an understanding. The Bible says, my people, they perish for the lack of knowledge, not because they don't want it. It's because whoever their shepherd is, their priest is, and that's what happened in the Old Testament. The priest was not giving them the knowledge that they needed in order for them to be in one with God, in the right place with God. And so that's why people were perishing. They didn't know. And those who thought they were doing right, they were doing wrong. But the priest was gaining their financial gain and gaining whatever they could from the people by agreeing with their sin. And so they were perishing for the lack of knowledge. So, amen. God bless you, my mother, Sister Billet. We thank God for you. Thank you for your comment tonight.
Amen.
Amen. All right. I see you, Evangelist Kim. Go ahead. God bless you. I could hear you.
Okay.
I don't know why.
I don't know how much
you couldn't hear me.
I
heard you all the way
till
you said you. Yeah, I heard you to the point where you were saying that I can't hear you. I'm going to call back. I'm going to hang up and call back.
Okay.
But
okay.
I heard what you were saying. You just couldn't hear me. I think everybody else could hear. Everybody else could hear us. I could hear you, but
okay.
You just couldn't hear me for some reason. But yeah, we thank you for the comment. You're talking about fellowship and being careful and stuff about who you fellowship with. And so, and I was telling anybody, if you didn't catch a part of it and you want to go back, if it went a little too fast for you, you can always go back online and listen to it again.
Okay.
And when you go online, you can actually speed up the Bible study, slow it down, you know, and go to those parts that you didn't hear or get. Anyone that logs on late after we started at 7, you can always go back. That's a good thing. Everything we do here is archived, and we can always go back and hear it again. And hear it again.
Oh,
amen.
Good. Thank you. God bless you.
Oh, thank you. And how are you doing? You doing good?
You know, not really. It's something. Some of the anesthetic got in my stomach, and my stomach hurts.
Oh.
I feel so. And the place that I went to get some food from, it was disgusting to the point where I got my whole meal free. It was so disgusting. So I'm sorry. In a few minutes. Yeah,
okay, well, we lift
problem.
You up at prayer at 6 o'clock when we're on a prayer call. We lift you up, and I'll call and check on you tomorrow and see how you're doing tomorrow. So
yeah, and I don't have to have that I don't have to have that major surgery, so God came through with that. I don't have to have the one where they have to cut the scalp open.
Look at that. Come on. So thank God. Hey, we thank God. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah, I know.
We know God is moving. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, sister. We thank God for you. Amen. I tell you, God is really moving in our, when we come together, these 30 days and 40 days of prayer and fasting, you, I'm telling God is moving swiftly and turning things around. We've been getting some great testimony as we've been declaring the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just been, you know, walking in expectancy. We're not just, we come in believing and we're coming to receive what God has for us, walking in expectancy. I want you to know, it's nothing that God cannot do. Amen. He loves her. He wants to bless her. He wants to do it. Amen. But he wants us to trust us. The Bible tells us that we cannot please God without faith. Amen. So we thank God for tonight. I thank everyone for being here. Bible study, all that came on tonight, all that has been coming into agreement with us these last 6 days of prayer in October. If you have not had an opportunity to join us on our prayer call, in the month of October, because you don't have the number, let us share that number with you on tonight so that you can join us at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Every day this month we'll be in prayer. Anything that you want to petition, let us come into agreement with you. Believe in God, combine our faith with your faith. And that number is 520-525-8608. 520-525-8608. And the time is at 6 p.m. 520-525-8608. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, we thank you, oh God, it's you that has kept us, oh God. It's you that sent your only begotten Son to save us. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for the finished work on the cross. We thank you for the shed blood that keeps us, that redeems us, that heals us, that sets us free, that makes all things new. We thank you, oh God, and right now by faith we receive it right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we ask, oh God, as we leave this line but never your presence, Lord, that you will bless all, oh God, and encamp your warring angels around us and keep us, oh God, safe from seen and unforeseen dangers in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we just want to say thank you and we love you. We decree and declare that all things are working together for the good of our life. We thank you, Father God, for divinely intervening and turning it all around for our good. Oh, Lord, we can't thank you enough, but yet and still we thank you. Oh, Lord, bless every heart and mind that is here in Bible study on tonight. Bless every situation that's concerning them. Hallelujah, and all that they're concerned about, Lord God. We pray that you intervene right now, God, and turn it around for their good. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you will increase us in love, in peace, and patience. Oh, Lord, increases in favor and blessing that cometh from you right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Oh, Lord, we ask that you do all that you can do, oh God, and we know that you can do all things but fail, and we just want to say thank you, Lord. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that all that we learned on tonight, oh God, we ask that it take root and manifest in us, oh God, mind, body, soul, and spirit. Let it be engrafted on our hearts and mind, oh God. Holy Spirit, help us to remember, oh God, help us to remember, let it not slip from our mind, oh God, the power and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that wherever the blood of Jesus Christ is, that the enemy cannot come near. And we just want to say thank you, Lord. We give it all over to you right now. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you bless all tonight, oh God, with sweet dreams and a peaceful sleep, oh God. And we just want to say thank you and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless everyone on the line tonight. You all have a blessed night. Remember, Jesus is Lord and the devil is defeated. We love you here at the Gospel Public Ministries. God loves you. God loves you more. Take care and be blessed.
Oh, I want to see him look upon his face. Let us sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I want to hear him say,
one time,
one time,
one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, one time, give it back to you. You gave me my husband, you know I love him. And now I'll give him back, so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally start breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah. Just for the love of the grandma.